So hi everybody, my name is Eric Chiron. I am a senior solution architect in the Microsoft Services Group. And so my role is to actually work with myself and my team to go out and talk to customers around advanced analytics and things like big data and machine learning. Today what I wanted to talk about was the ways in which we at Microsoft Services use project management and project implementation methodologies to help customers and organizations through implementing successful what we call advanced analytics solutions. So typically when we actually go and talk to our customers, this is really a good depiction of what's in their heads when they sit down in architectural design sessions with us and we ask them about data. They understand that it's big, they understand that it's changing, they understand that it's voluminous, that it's very, very difficult to get a hold of. They often have wishes about their data, that it could be more responsive, more addressable, and that it wouldn't take them so long to be able to access the data to make decisions. And so understanding that this is the customer's context in many organizations, we actually have a responsibility in services to kind of guide them through how to go from this level of panic almost to a really concentrated way of being productive and extracting information with their data. So usually it begins with a process, and we usually tell people a couple of tenets. Well, actually, a few. So we often talk to them about data being big, and it's not actually staying the same size, it's actually getting bigger, and it's happening at an exponential rate. And so the message we often send to customers is that what got us here in terms of being able to accommodate for data and extract insight and data out of it and decisions out of it won't get you there. So we have to think about things bigger, in a bigger fashion. And so really what that means is that we need to transform the way we think about accommodating for data from schematized databases to all the different mechanisms and means that many platforms and architectural differences and systems have to provide data. So this means structured, semi-structured, and unstructured data. This includes today data from sensors, clickstream analytics from web logs, growing telemetry around applications. And so things are not sitting still, they're actually getting bigger. Which means that the way that we addressed things in the past, like ETL, extraction, transformation, and loading procedures, are not really going to scale to accommodate this variability and homogeneity with the data that we see today. We also talk to customers and organizations around making sure that they understand that experimentation is key. In the old days, we had the ability to take long views of data insight projects. We could do business intelligence information systems within months, rather than sprints or days or weeks. And we kind of have to shift our thinking from waterfall projects to agile iterative experiments, which consistently become refined as we go through the process of creating and defining data insights from it. And so to be able to answer existing questions as well as new questions, we no longer have the luxury of saying, wait 6 months for your reports as I build this data warehouse. Data warehousing is still important, but we need to be able to respond to external and business pressures and be able to give people what they need in terms of, to make quick decisions. And another element of information that we often talk to customers and organizations about is that how democratization is happening right now. Democratization is really a term that we use to describe the fact that the powerful tools and abilities that we had in the data in the early days of business intelligence projects now need to be pushed up the stack, as we call it, and pushed closer to actual end users that are going to be making decisions using this data. So again, the power of those tools need to be simplified to only expose a surface area that end users will care about, understand, and be able to extract. So these are all the tenets that we use to get organizations to realize that things have changed and they're going to keep changing and we need to change with them. So we all know that business intelligence projects used to take a long time. And in my experience, by the time that we developed a business intelligence solution and wrote the reports, the customer would come back to us and say, all right, well, now I need the system to do this, or now I need to answer this question. And in many instances, that happened while we were developing the reports. Typically, those were what we called historical analytics, and today we call them descriptive analytics. Those are analytical solutions that are derived from highly schematized, highly structured data that occurs within a specific set of our size and often is very, very predictable in terms of its format and size. And so it became very easy for us to write ETL, or extraction, transformation, and load pipelines to be able to import that data and ingest it and be able to send to end users pictures of what had happened in the past. Now what's happening is that we're evolving. Technology is evolving, questions are evolving, things are moving at almost light speed to the point that we need to be able not to just look at what happened in the past, while that's still important, but we also need to be able to predict what's going to happen in the future. So as a little person with the raincoat on, it's almost like listening to a weather report. We need systems that have the ability to take in heterogeneous data, big data, and be able to tell us what's going to happen in the near future. And instead of consuming that just with Excel or just with some tabular reporting tool, we need to be able to do that and be able to provide them that data in a mobile-first, cloud-first way. And then if we move down the road a little bit, we are in the world of prescriptive analytics. And this is where we see a lot of the growth. Prescriptive analytics, again, are taking into account that universe of data that's constantly changing and be able to do a couple of things. The first, optimally, is to be able to tell users or to tell analysts what should be done. And the second thing is potentially to integrate and push those solutions into production such that they're integrated with line of business systems, and so that that predictions can actually trigger an action to happen in the real world, and then to report that action that the system took or the application took based on a prediction back to an end user to say, okay, that's what the system did as a result of this prediction or this data anomaly. So the goal is that the system should be able to deliver advice and allow people to take action, and it should do that fast and in a scalable way. So what is advanced analytics? So advanced analytics is a fluid term, because what's advanced today might not be advanced within the next month, 2 months, or 3 months. But today, we typically look at advanced analytics solutions as a data solution that requires some form of data ingestion, transformation, being able to visualize that information and turning it into action. And typically that could use, like for example, machine learning, or it could be just a data engineering effort in which we ingest and massage data and present that to users in a real-time fashion, as an example. For data ingestion, it's all about being able to address both structured, unstructured, and semi-structured data. And we have examples of some of the technologies here you see below that typically can take that structured information or unstructured information from multiple sources, including on-premises data, as well as cloud data, as well as data from other systems if you're doing a cloud-to-cloud integration, and be able to stage it so that it's ready for transformation or enrichment on its journey into an actual analytical solution. Transformation is typically, in the past, was looking at schematized information, being able to apply schema as it was being written into a storage medium so that we could actually enrich it, we could shape the data, we could change it so that it was more friendly to be reported on. Star schemas kind of spring to mind, snowflake schemas. But we also know that the data, as it's changing, requires multiple methodologies to pick up that data wherever it may lie. Again, that might be from other clouds, on-premises, trusted partners, as well as your own organization's environments, and be able to transform that data. There's a methodology that we often supplement with big data, which is called extraction, load, and then transform, and apply schema on read, which is what uSQL helps us to do. There's visualization as well. Visualization is the consumption of that data or the data from an analytical solution that hopefully will provide a single version of the truth. Now, the visualization area is prone to be making sure that we upload data and it's a single version, it's discoverable, it's reusable, and there's auditing around it ideally, and that you can actually suck that in and use to create dashboards. To be able to turn information into insight. This is the layer in which we actually present that to individuals that can take action. Action involves operationalization, turning that insight into action. It's not enough to look at something historically and say, yes, you know, things are okay, or boy, I got to do something. It's being able to take that next step. And an advanced analytics solution typically has prescriptive elements to allow individuals that are in the decision-making capability to take that next step. And that next step might be to the point where it's an automated process. So for example, recognizing failure in elevators, or recognizing well pressures and things of that nature, being able to take corrective action in the real world as part of an integrated line of business system. So if we dive into each of the areas of the of an analytics solutions reference model, data ingestion is all about being able to combine both what we call hot path or streaming data, as well as structured data or data that's at rest in a relational repository or a file system, for example. The data that rests that's highly schematized can exist in on-premises relational data, behind corporate firewalls or behind organizational firewalls, as well as cloud data that might exist in your organization's cloud or another organization's cloud. Streaming messages received from devices and sensors, and even streaming analytics from web logs or applications are all part of this as well. And log files from social sources, from applications, from an operations perspective, are all part of the data ingestion universe that an organization may have to deal with. Being able to ingest that information means that we need mechanisms and products in place that have the capability to keep up with the data as it comes in. And typically, we like to see many customers take an extraction, load, and then transform approach. Just capture the data in a data lake. And you can kind of see here some of the products such as IoT Hub, Data Factory for reaching back to on-premises information and grabbing that, as well as accommodating for real-time data like Stream Analytics. And the goal would be to have a cold path and a hot path, which we talk about in the next slide, which is to store the data and then mine it later, or take action and do something now. If you're talking to business owners and folks that need these solutions, some of the things that you might hear them say are that I have challenges in acquiring my data. I really don't know how to make that hop to the cloud or that hop back on premises. I really don't know how to grab the data sets because I don't know their frequency or my ETL routines. They're just starting to fail all the time and they never complete. They just run forever. This is how you know that rigid methodology for accommodating and ingesting data is actually aging out and we need to do something different. From a transformation perspective, it's taking data that was ingested either in a acquisition pipeline like Azure Data Factory, or taking streaming data from hot path sources like Event Hubs and Stream Analytics, enriching that data with on-premises or cloud data as it's being written into short-term or long-term storage areas. So for example, here I also have being enriched by the Cortana Intelligence Services. For example, the Language and Understanding Service, the Text Analytics Service to assign sentiment. So the common signals you might hear for this particular need is that I need to predict customer churn. I need to take action on predictions based on input. I want to publish one version of the truth. And at this point, we know that ingesting the data is not enough. We actually need to enrich it and place it in a place where our analytical solutions or our models can actually grab it. And so you can see that the paths for transformation end up in a repository for future analytics to be run on. So that might include Hadoop, might be data leaks, might be Azure Blob Storage, or it might be a machine learning model that's operationalized that continues to grab that data set. From a visualization and action perspective, we understand that we need to take that process data and the transform data for analytics and be able to push that into areas in which actual users can discover it. So the Azure Data Catalog, as an example, would be a great place to publish data sets so that they're reusable, they're discoverable, and it represents a single version of the truth. Ultimately, the data that's staged in these repositories needs to be exposed through consumption mechanisms like Power BI or Excel and other actual applications that we don't list here. The other applications might include apps that would consume a REST service from a machine learning model. And so some of the customer and common signals you might hear organization members say is that I need to be able to see what the system did based on insights from my data. Or I want to integrate analytic data sets into my line of business application so that it can take action and let me know what actually happened. Or I want to consume my data without necessarily going to bug folks in IT and cause them to incur a project to get me the data I need by the time my questions change. So how do we execute? And this is really the focus of what I wanted to talk about. So now that we have a good understanding of what we consider advanced analytics to be, some of the premises around advanced analytics. How do we actually execute? And so one of the big things that we do is we start with envisioning workshops. And in these envisioning workshops, we make sure that business decision makers are actually in the session. And these are the people that can answer questions around what are the highest value things that your organization has to deal with, and how should we prioritize them, and what are the outcomes of an advanced analytics solution that need to be delivered, and how do we prove the value associated with those outcomes. And then we level set on what the methodologies that we use to achieve these outcomes are. So we focus, again, very, very much so on experimentation is the key. We shy away from talking about promising deterministic results from analytical models. That could be the death knell for any project, is if you promise that we're going to have a 70% prediction capability on customer churn, as an example. We need to make sure that we're engaged in a process that will allow us to continually refine our ability to be more accurate, rather than promise accuracy up front. So with that said, what we do is we adopt a process model during these alignment sessions. And so this process model takes us from the business alignment session all the way through actually producing a model. Again, doesn't have to necessarily be machine learning, could be some data engineering and some Power BI associated with some data sets after some transformation. But we focus on the experimentation aspect of this model. The model that I'm showing on the screen here is one that we use in services. It's called the Cross-Industry Standard Process for Data Mining, or otherwise known as CRISP-DM. And I put a little link in the slide deck so that folks can actually go and read more about this. But this process model and its process overlay supports experimentation. And the key reason why it supports experimentation is, you might notice the arrow flows, it allows us to fall back to any step in the process so that we can further refine. The premise is that as you go through the CRISP-DM process, any box here or any process or task associated with the CRISP-DM process can reveal facts around what the assumptions are that you had in the previous step. And some of them might force us to go back to the previous step and refine what we knew, what we thought we knew when we advanced to the next step. This is different than an agile methodology, so this isn't Scrum, but it can actually be included in Scrum project implementations. So while this particular process model doesn't include an understanding of things like backlogged and telemetry-driven prioritization of items, there is ultimately a backlog that we see in projects, but the CRISP-DM process actually helps us through the sprints, the experimentation sprints. It does accommodate variability in solutions. For example, things like data volatility, data quality. Those are all things that might, as we discover what the data sets are, might lead us to refactor or refine our questions and move us forward again as we figure out what data is actually available. And it's cyclical, again, being able to move backwards and forwards fluidly between these capability tasks are important. So let's dive into the first steps of the CRISP-DM model. And this is really the core of actually how you get started conducting an advanced analytics project within your organization. And the goal is not to necessarily just produce a proof of value or proof of concept and say, look at that, that looks fantastic. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that for real? The goal of this process is to actually deploy something palpable and valuable into production that can continually be monitored and refined. So what we normally do in Microsoft Services is we tackle the business understanding and the data understanding in one of those sessions we were talking about. We begin with the exploration of a problem. And I have a couple of problems and statements here that we've captured from our experience in dealing with lots of customers. So for example, you can kind of see one here says, we spend a lot of money to acquire and retain customers. Turning over a customer and reacquiring them is very expensive. So any of you folks that have a data science background would say, oh, that's a customer churn model. And then so the goal would be not to necessarily start talking about product features and algorithms and the ways to do those things. It's to guide the business stakeholders through a conversation where we can arrive at an analytical question. And the analytical question is almost like a vision statement or a thesis or more importantly, a hypothesis. And for example, I have one here that says it would be great if we could predict when a customer is likely to leave us and target them for retention. And that can mean a lot of things. It's very broad, but it kind of focuses us on the type of experiments that we might want to produce for our first try. And then the next step is after we have that analytical question, We then begin trying to help them understand and really understand from them what data sets would help us make those determinations. And oftentimes, that's my little iteration logo there, we might fall backwards into the business understanding because the data that we actually want to use simply isn't there and it's not available. And so sometimes that might cause us to have to refine the question based on the data that's available. In other instances, it might cause us to acquire new sets of data that we don't know if it's available. And then what we really focus on is defining the consumption experience. So this is a design-led thinking initiative, which is focused on making sure that we understand how people are going to use this data. For example, is it going to be used by an individual looking at their phone when they're in traffic so that they can actually take proactive steps to make a decision or take an action? Is it going to be used by an application? In the example of a credit application, if you're applying for a credit card, and if you're online and you go to the next screen, a model is running to make sure that you determine your credit limit. Or maybe it's both. Maybe it's alerting a human being that something has happened, and also being able to take action in the real world based on an application. So it's an iterative process. Each step may impact or influence the other step, and again, you may have to go back to refine the problem or refine the sets of data that you're going to consider as part of the solution. So once we have that business understanding and we have the data understanding, and we have actually gone on and said, yes, this is what we're going to do, we actually need to prep and then begin the experimentation process. And really what that process is acquiring the data sets. It's being able to go to the organizational sources of information, whether that's cloud data, whether that's public domain data, whether it's syndicated data, marketplace data, or on-premises data, and acquire those and be able to put them in stage them. And it's not just enough to be able to put them in a common spot or a common store. There's a lot of work that has to happen around staging the data in terms of enriching it and decorating it so that things like machine learning models will understand what it is that we're trying to predict. So that typically involves some level of what we call data engineering. So in Microsoft Services, we have a significant amount of data engineers that are responsible for acquiring, staging, transformation, ingestion, and putting the data in a spot where our data scientists can actually take action and begin to begin the experimentation. Now, again, data science isn't required for all advanced analytics solution, but the concept of the experiment is really important to keep in mind, regardless of whether or not you're doing any data science or algorithmic applications of machine learning to your data sets for your solution. And then ultimately, the end state is to continue to iterate test the model. And that means to, in machine learning speak, that means to take unknown sets of data that the model hasn't seen before and apply it to determine how accurate it is. For solutions that don't require it, it's still being able to validate and tie out to your data source to make sure that what you're reporting is accurate. It's really important to note that even in experimentation, as the CRISP-DM model tells us or educates us, is that any experimentation may cause the revisitation of data understanding and even the business problem. So we may get partway down the road and say, listen, we weren't able to reliably produce a predictive model associated with the data like we thought. Let's go back and not give up, but refine the question based on the data that we do see. And there's certain insights that actually might help that refinement process get accelerated once we start to do the experimentation. Data prep tasks can be repeated multiple times, which means that there's an opportunity for automation in terms of data prep tasks, which we talked about in the transformation section of the analytical reference model. And the goal is to assess the model. Assuming that we've made it through the experiment, it's to train it, to evaluate it, and determine if this model is representative of and accurate. A lot of our customers in the past had ended there. They said, this is super valuable. This is great. I love the way that this model and this experiment and this experience and the visualization looks. But in many instances, there wasn't a capacity to take that forward and do the hard integration into line of business systems or to actually continually put something like that into production and monitor it. And largely that what we found is that was because of a lack of know-how. These systems are not systems that you can put in place or solutions you can stick on a web server and have them work forever ad infinitum. Many of these advanced analytics solutions require additional monitoring, not only to make sure that the moving parts all work, but that they continue to be accurate and continue to represent one version of the truth and continue to be able to provide us prediction capability. These models can get stale if they're not continually retrained and operationalized. And so evaluate and deploy is all about making sure that the model, while it matches to performance outcomes, is available for deployment and is operationalized. That means that it's a systematic integration into dashboards and Power BI and your line of business applications, but we need to be able to move beyond experimentation. We need to be able to set up a repeatable process by which we can monitor the accuracy by continually training and passing new information through our models so that they can be continually accurate. And if they're not, we may need to dive back into the CRISP DM process to change them so that they are. And ultimately, throughout this entire process, after you deploy, the goal would be to take the next set of questions from your end users, from those data analysts and those business users, and be able to apply them to the analytical solution so that it can adjust for business process change in months or weeks or months rather than multiple months or even a year. So the question you might be asking yourself is, well, who are the people that actually make this happen? So we have, in Microsoft, we have several personas. These are higher level personas. Each one of them has different variations underneath it. But starting with the folks that are responsible for acquiring the data, these are the technical personas. The data engineering is a process by which we ingest and transform and stage and markup and decorate data. That's often done in concert with our data scientists. The data scientists are responsible for crafting approaches to analytical solutions, determining whether or not the solution is a machine learning solution, or maybe it's just a transformation and staging of the data and exposing that through Power BI, or maybe it's a Lambda architecture with hot and cold paths that are hooked into Power BI in real time. The data scientists are responsible for conducting the actual analytical experiments and positioning the data to and the outcome of the solution to train the data, evaluating the model, and determine if it's ready to go into production. The data stewards persona is responsible for understanding what the data sets are, understanding the single version of the truth. These folks help stage the data sets and position them and work with our data analysts, which are the people that are responsible for consuming the data, writing the reports, asking, getting their questions answered, and helping business users ask new questions. So we typically think of it as in a relatively simple semantic model. The first is that these people, which are our data scientists and engineers, work with these things, and these are all data platform, Azure-based services. One of the things we weren't able to do was to put R and R Studio and SQL Server 2016 on the slide. But whatever the analytical solution platform capability is, they work with those things to produce data sets. And those data sets can exist in multiple formats, dictated by the experience and dictated by the architecture of the solution. Those data sets are consumed by the data stewards. The data stewards work with those data sets to produce visualizations. Those visualizations might be Power BI or Excel or SQL Server reporting services, which are consumed by data analysts. One thing we also don't have here on this slide is the fact that this might be integrated into line of business systems as well. So for Microsoft services, what our data scientists do is we work with organization teams to establish a pipeline for analytics. It's not enough to be able to produce the model and then leave that model in a container by itself. We actually need to continually evolve that analytical solution and evolve that model through operationalization. So you can see here on this slide, some of the things that we do is we gather requirements associated with operationalization, we catalog the data sources, we understand how to accommodate for change and avoid rigidity, we deploy and operationalize a solution, and we make sure that we continually monitor that solution for operational predictive modeling capability and efficiency. From a data architecture standpoint, we often keep in mind the fact that this analytical solution might be part of a larger universe of meta solutions, if you will, that might exist within an organization. And it's really important that we keep in mind the fact that there needs to be a common way of doing things, a common set of reusable patterns and practices, and leveraging the capabilities and know-how that an organization has in terms of a technical solution. This means including things like eliminating technical debt, being able to make sure that we are implementing solutions in a technically savvy way that allows us not to have to reproduce things or rubber stamp things or kind of refactor things. So from a takeaway concept perspective, what I'm hoping that you folks take away is the fact that experimentation is here to stay. It really is the new deliverable. Promising results from analytical experiments is really not the way that you should go about enriching the way that your organization retrieves insights from their data. We need to focus on short iterations. We need to focus on refinement. Part and parcel of many of your responsibilities, if you're watching this video, is to be able to make that known to your constituents, to your business users even. And a lot of folks that we talk to within services are open to the fact that we are going to experiment, we're going to fail fast, we're going to let you know what we've learned, and we're going to refine and produce results. Democratization is here to stay. Complex languages and solutions and architecture should be masked from end users, but at the same time, we need to make sure we're leveraging the platform well enough so that solution suites, accelerators, those things are actually pushed closer to our end users within reason so that they can achieve faster time to action from large amounts of volumes of data. And one of the things that we realized here at Microsoft is that every project is really a data insights project. One of the main reasons why we do Internet of Things projects is to achieve insights from the data. And so that applies to everything from an IoT solution to a system center implementation. All of those things will require some form of analytics. And we should consistently be looking to determine what are the questions that business users are going to need in advance of that. And then keeping in mind data ingestion and collection and storage of information for the heck of storage of storing it really isn't any value. We need to be able to mine insights. So that's it for me. My name is Eric Chiron. There's my email address here. It'll be in the slide deck. If you have any questions, observations, comments, feel free to list them in the comment section below. Thanks very much, folks.